Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning, you've got Religion on the Line here. This beautiful, beautiful, but crisp Sunday morning in the heart of the country. Here we are, awaiting your call at 576-7710, 576-7710. Time by which we can engage in conversation about matters of the spirit, matters of worship, matters of ethics, that which goes all under the rubric of spirituality and religion and has to do with faith. Whatever your religious tradition is, we'd welcome your commentary and your call at 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
By the way, we are remembering the two firefighters that fell this past week in valiant service of our community, saving others but not being able to avoid a whole wall, apparently, that collapsed in upon them. Other firefighters were injured. There was smoke inhalation, and some people were taken to the hospital. But two of our great servants in the public fell in service to us, and we are very, very grateful, heartbroken by the loss, and grateful that at the Royals game that came back to Kansas City, there was a chance to pay tribute. The Royals did it as well. There was a Royals version of the cap that Rick, our Cracker Jack producer, has on this morning at the KC Fire Department. So 576-7710 is the number to call, 576-7710 is the number to call. Give us a call. You know, we've got Gene here. Gene?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I haven't called in a long time. But,
Gene, yes.
If Rabbi Zedek was there, I'd love to talk to him, too. But you'll have to convey the message.
We will. And, Gene, could you turn down your radio, maybe?
My radio is turned off.
Turned off.
I'm
good.
In a different room.
Okay.
Do I sound too loud or what?
You sound fine now. Good.
Okay.
Good. We'll modulate it here in the studio. So, Rick Turner will. So.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know if after you mentioned the gun control thing, I had to take a load of laundry down. I'm a live alone guy, so I have to do my own laundry. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, you got my sympathy.
Anyway, the gun control thing is so complicated. However, if you look at the history of it, the massacres we've had, the times that people have gone into schools and churches and shot them up, it's always been in a gun-free zone. In most cases, had somebody, just one or two people, been there with a gun, they could have stopped the person after he shot two or three instead of 10 or 12. The gun control just doesn't stop bad guys from carrying guns. You're never going to stop.
Could we stop a few more by a stiffer background check and a waiting period?
That might or might not work, depending. We have that now. I have a right to carry.
We're not talking about your right to carry. We're talking about a stricter background check.
And I had to go through a background check to get this twice.
How many days?
It took over a month.
I had to make
two trips to.
When did you buy your weapons, Gene?
I bought it about 5 years ago. Then a year ago, I had to renew it, and I had to do the same thing again. I had to go to Tacoma Lake and pay an extra $50 mm-hmm. To those people for doing nothing. But of course, they weren't their fault. They're just politicians. But so it took me. It took a background check from me to have my right to carry.
I'm glad it did.
Well, of course, and I'm an honest guy. The crooks aren't going to go through the background check. The people that want to do this kind of thing, they can pick up their guns anywhere.
And they can buy those from people who bought them at gun shows with hardly any background check at all.
They don't have to do that either. They can go out on the street and buy them. There's a huge black market on guns. And all you do with gun control is restrict honest people like me. In Australia, they did that. If you confiscate all the guns in a country that didn't have that many anyway.
Yeah, but the number of gun deaths there went down extraordinarily high.
Well, there's enough guns in this country to arm every live person.
And, where are we? You know, that's the deal. Where are we in terms of people have access to guns everywhere? You're admitting that. You're saying that. And it doesn't make us any safer.
It certainly won't make it safer to take them away from the honest people either.
They're not going to take them away from you.
Well, that's what gun control does. Essentially, it doesn't take them away from the crooks who can get them anywhere at any time.
Gene, are you on the Missouri side or the Kansas side?
Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I think one issue people in Missouri have with these background checks is that, you know, about a year ago, the state highway patrol, who had the records for everyone who had applied for a concealed carry permit, they just turned those over to the feds without so much as any legal wrangling. I think a lot of people that applied for concealed carry weapon permits were really upset that their private information, they didn't want that to be
exactly. They're not supposed to be registration of that kind.
I think everybody wants reasonable gun control, but then the question is, what is reasonable? And we were talking about that before the break of how do you find that middle ground where you respect people's rights to defend themselves, but at the same time, you're keeping guns out of the hands of the bad guys, and it's a difficult issue.
I think we have reasonable gun control right now.
That's really the question, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to throw that out because you guys hadn't heard from me in a while. I promise to call again next when Rabbi Zedek's there.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to Rabbi Zedek about this other point that about the same-sex marriage. That was a good one that Bob brought up on that.
Well, we have a rabbi here.
Rabbi Lundy.
Okay, well, Rabbi Zedek is the one that was all in favor of same-sex marriage. That's the reason I thought of him.
Well, I think that he would say in general that he was in favor of people being allowed to love the people they loved and to have their relationships honored in some way. I do think that he's, just to speak for him, if I can remember it correctly, he would love the licensing of a marriage to be taken out of the hands of clergy and a more European model where you get a license from the state and they can do anything that they want, and that the religious institution could choose or not choose to honor with a ceremonial rite the couples coming together. So some institutions would not perform those unions and celebrations, and some institutions would. But it would be taken out of – it would take the clergy being an agent of the state take it out of their hands.
I don't think that a person that runs a bake shop doesn't want to sell a same-sex marriage, two guys or two gals, shouldn't be put out of business for that.
How about if they come and they have their celebration dinner at your restaurant? Are you obliged to serve them or not?
Well, if it depends on if they bring in a big cake and they I don't know.
No, let's say they bring in their own cake, but they want you to do a big wedding party in the back of your restaurant, and you're open
I probably would go for that. That's not so obvious.
Why you're aiding and abetting their celebration of their union.
There's a fine line you have to draw there.
Okay. Well, we settled that with the civil rights movement, where we said that no person, because of their race, could be denied service. And this would be very similar, that no person, by virtue of their orientation nor their choice of life partner,
I think that you're comparing a person who's either born is born one race. A person is not. You're saying that a person is born homosexual, possibly.
I didn't say that, but I would absolutely agree with that.
That's what you're implying with that, and I don't buy that.
Okay.
Well, anyway, guys, I just wanted to put my two cents with him.
We thank you for your call and call back. Okay. Right. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710.
Did you wake up this morning dreading the challenge of finding something to wear? Did you dig through your closet where you have four sizes of clothing yet nothing fits you? You feel uncomfortable with your appearance. You are limited by things you like to do. Blue Valley Surgical Associates' comprehensive approach to weight loss might be the answer, with one of their weight loss surgical options that can help you achieve success. Call Blue Valley Surgical Associates at 913-220-2866.
Blue Valley Surgical Associates.
Get more out of life.
Since 1988, the team at Cruise Holidays of Kansas City has been matching their amazing clients with the perfect vacation. Don't you think it's your turn? Cruise Holidays of Kansas City will help you choose the vacation package, ocean cruise, river cruise, or all-inclusive resort that's just right for you. They'll be there to help you through the entire planning and booking process. Their expert travel counselors have over 70 years of travel experience and can offer the best guidance to you, because they've been there. Don't trust your dream vacation to a computer. Computers don't have feelings, and they can't tell you the best beach to watch the sunset or the best time of year for whale watching in Alaska. Let Cruise Holidays of Kansas City help make your vacation dreams a reality. Call 816-505-1500 or online at chkc.travel. You deserve a dream vacation.
Up to $1,200, $1,500, $1,700? But what does that mean? This is Airman for Midwest Heating to say that you may now receive up to $1,700 in rebates or trade allowances on your choice of qualifying Lennox or Trane home heating and cooling systems. $1,700 is for a top dollar system with many excellent options, but for most purchasers, the number is closer to $1,000 or so. And that's as straightforward as I can say it. You may also qualify for another $1,175 in utility rebates, but here's what counts. Most all dealers have access to these rebates, so what's the difference? When Midwest installs your system, it will be completed with the utmost professionalism at the highest possible savings, providing you trouble-free comfort for years to come. Count on it. Now in our sixth decade, same family ownership, same standards of excellence. Trust your heir to the best, Midwest. Midwest Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, 943-8787 or MidwestHeating.com.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA of Insfair Insurance Solutions Incorporated, licensed in all states. Product availability varies. Agents may be compensated on enrollment.
Attention Americans eligible for Medicare. Changes to Medicare plans could significantly impact your health care costs. Get all the benefits you're entitled to. Call Health Markets and we'll help you find the right Medicare plan. It's a new Medicare year. That means more changes and more confusion. Get smart, unbiased help finding the right coverage at the right price. Call Health Markets today and we'll search thousands of Medicare plans from leading insurance companies. Plans that may cost less, cover more, and give you more choices like dental and vision care and the freedom to choose your own doctors, all at a price you can afford. Best of all, we do all the legwork at no cost to you. If you miss the Medicare deadline, you may have to wait a year before enrolling, so don't put it off. Even if you already have a Medicare plan, we may be able to save you money and increase your benefits. Let Health Markets find the right Medicare plan for you. Call 800-291-3544, 800-291-3544, 800-291-3544.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. Your response is critical to our response, in places where a few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
We are Talk Radio, KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time, this is the place to give us a call, 576-7710, and engage in dialogue. Sharing your perspectives and also seeking to try to understand what is it at the core of our spiritual essence that drives us, moves us, shapes us here and now as people, either of faith or if you have no faith but you have a question and you want to mount a challenge, that's okay too. 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
We are going to go to Chris. Chris, you've got Religion on the Line.
Yes, I always am. I'm always just interested in why the religious, our ability to practice our religious freedom, and the constitutional amendment is never brought up in here, and it's always placed second to the rights of the homosexual community.
Chris, I don't know what tradition you are, but has your place of worship been impinged and you've been, you and your religious leaders have been forced to do something?
Yes.
In your place of worship?
I'm Catholic, and it has definitely affected the adoption agencies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that there's religious, really persecution of Christians going on all over the country.
Really? Wow.
And the latest thing that I understand that was happening under this Obama administration, there was just something they did under the cover of something, I think, this last weekend, and I have to read a little bit more about it.
Okay, well, you read a little bit more about it, so get back to us about that.
But first, please answer my question. Why is the First Amendment, why do you believe that it is secondary to these other things when our country was, when our country was really based and all our freedoms are based on the First Amendment?
I never said it was. Chris, I don't know where you heard that. Maybe you were listening to another show.
Well, I think
your
Chris
defense
is
just—it's just incredible each time, and I mean, all people should be treated well and supported. But somebody forgets about the family, and the family is the building block of society. And when you look at societies and the crumbling of different societies, look at these things because it. I mean, I know you're a very learned person, but I seem to know more about this.
Apparently you do, because I think I've said anything.
You're extremely condescending to people.
Chris,
and I really think you should ask
to me.
God if that's the way to treat other people.
Thank you for your condescension. Thank you for your condescension, Chris.
Well, you are very condescending to people, and you think you're all-knowing. And I know you're a knowledgeable person, but I got to tell you, you are not just the hierarchy of all knowledge. And the people who call in are very knowledgeable as well. Well, you dismiss people. You're very dismissive, very, and I think you should really, reconsider how you treat people when they call in who have a different opinion.
Yeah, we've let you go on with your different opinion, Chris. Don't want to go on anymore?
Oh, no, I'm willing to stay on and discuss this if you would wish.
I don't think you are. I think that you want to correct people and you don't want a discussion. I'm not threatened by anybody who is in a same-sex union. I'm not threatened by my threat.
You want to dismiss people. This is a pattern that you have established. This is what you say when you want to end conversation, and you do it weekly. And I've been listening for a long time, and,
Chris.
You really ought to play back some of your tapes and listen to yourself. You are condescending.
Okay, Chris, do you want to get on to another topic, or do you just want to talk about this?
Yeah, Chris, what's your point?
I really do think the First Amendment should be addressed, and I do think that it's forgotten, and I think it's incredibly important, and I think that our whole society is based on this, and I think when people are persecuted for wanting to practice their First Amendment, I think you have a real issue.
Chris,
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. It's Rabbi Londi.
Yes, thank
I'm trying to understand your position about how you feel the First Amendment is being undermined in your place of worship. I really want to understand that. Could you give me an example so I understand?
Well, okay, one of the things is that Little Sisters of the Poor. Little Sisters of the Poor really were confronting the government about being forced to provide health care services, which really go against the, it's really an intrinsic evil within the Catholic Church. Then you have the adoption situation where if Catholic adoption agencies were not willing to adopt to homosexual couples, when the belief is that it really is discriminating against the child not to allow them to have a parent that is a mother and father, then they also have been shut down on the East Coast. And there's many, many other things. And if people look at what's happening with Christianity in this country in particular, and I don't know how it impacts Judaism, which, you know, you could perhaps explain that to me, but these are just two of the things that right off, you know, the top come to mind, but there are many other things. Oh, yes, another thing. They want there have how some of these things would impact would be in the schools and in the facilities that, like Catholic Charities, who you are forced to hire.
Yeah, let me jump in a little bit. I think what Chris is talking about when she refers to the First Amendment, the right to religion, is historically in our country, the right, the freedom of religion has always been understood, not just freedom of worship, but freedom of practice. And right now, and I know the Archbishop and his brother bishops and the church as a whole, we're very concerned because we see this trend to conflate that freedom of religion, that First Amendment right, to just freedom of worship, not freedom of practice.
Yeah.
And so like a classic example of a great American tradition is, you know, we believe that the state has a compelling interest in times of war to draft our men to go to war. But we've always respected conscientious objectors, where if you could prove, you know, my religion prohibits me from participating in this war because I belong to a faith tradition that doesn't allow for violence, our nation has always respected that and saying, okay, well, you know, even though we feel like, you know, we need to have you go to war, we respect your freedom of conscience, and we're not gonna compel you to go against your conscience. And that's, I think, what alarms so many Catholics is part of our faith is not just to believe and be what we do at church on Sunday, but more importantly, what we do throughout the week. And we want to engage the public sphere, and we want to go out and do works of charity. But in cases where there are things that we believe are a sin, and we don't just believe they're a sin because, you know, the Pope tells us so. We believe that because when we look at nature and the order that God has placed in nature and what we believe we can't collaborate or in any way condone something that we believe is sinful behavior. We don't want to judge anyone. We don't want to say, oh, you're a bad person, and that's why I don't want to help you. We just don't want to participate in that act.
And
so for the Chris, state to say, we're going to compel you, then
we thank you for your call. We've got to take a break now, and I hope you've understood that we've been open and part of the dialogue. I didn't hear you. I guess you're gone, Chris.
I guess we lost Chris.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these messages.
The economy still matters, and it can either be boon or bane to your investments. This is Portfolio Manager Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pig Show, heard every Saturday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. The economy is always oscillating between periods of boom and bust, and that's as true today as it was 100 years ago. At Butler Lands and Wagler, we provide you with the best chance to navigate our ever-changing economy by stacking the odds of success in your favor. We do that by investing with the trends, which are themselves reflective of our economy. The biggest difference between us and other financial advisors is that when the environment changes, so do we. This value-added approach gives you peace of mind, regardless what the economy and markets give us. You can learn more by downloading our free report at investontrack.com or giving us a call at 913-696-1919. That's investontrack.com and 913-696-1919.
CBS News Update. A massive cleanup underway in Los Angeles County's Antelope Valley. Homeowners are digging mud out of their houses as county crews clear out tons of dirt. CBS's Carter Evans reports.
Parts of the highway could be closed for several days. That's how long it might take to remove a mile-long stretch of cars and debris. Kern County Sheriff's Deputy John Dietrich.
The problem is not like snow. Snow will melt and you can drive your car away. This mud here is going to cause mechanical damage.
You've seen floods
yes.
around here. Anything like this?
I've not seen this magnitude.
More than 3 inches of rain fell in this part of L.A. County in just 30 minutes. The National Weather Service is calling it a 1,000-year rain event.
From floods to fires, firefighters in Central Texas say they're halfway to controlling a wildfire that's destroyed dozens of homes. The Hidden Pines fire has consumed about 4,600 acres. CBS News Update. I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
It's going to be another chilly night for us with mostly clear skies. Temperatures overnight will fall into the upper 30s to around 40 degrees with southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday's going to bring warmer temperatures with mostly sunny skies. We're looking for highs in the upper 60s to around 70 degrees through the afternoon hours with gusty southerly winds. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Shulman.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
I want everybody in America to succeed. I want to help as many people as possible that I can reach become successes in their life. I want them to find their passion and purpose. I want them to enjoy what they do every day. I don't care what race you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care where you live. I want to help you.
The Greg Knapp Experience. Weekday afternoons 4 till 6 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
I'm Tim McGraw, and I have a challenge for you. Nearly 30 million Americans have diabetes. Most have type 2 diabetes. I've seen firsthand how it impacts Americans from all walks of life. It's affected my family, friends, and fans. That's why I'm speaking out about how important it is for those living with type 2 diabetes to get their blood sugar under control. I'm encouraging all Americans to join me and challenge their family and friends with diabetes to get to their A1C goal. I've learned that about one-third of adults living with diabetes are not at their A1C goal, which can lead to serious health problems over time. Let's change that. If you have diabetes, take the challenge. Pledge to work with your doctor to set and reach your own A1C goal. Also, be sure to learn if you're at risk for low blood sugar and how to reduce that risk. I'm a strong believer in making healthy choices, and I want to help my family, friends, and others with diabetes do the same. Join me now at AmericasDiabetesChallenge.com. Together, we can make a difference.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
I mean, do we have to censor ourselves to keep our jobs? You know what the answer to that is to me?
Yep.
You do.
Weekday afternoons, 4 till 6.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time and this is the place. Give us a call, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
And Rabbi Zedek will be back with us next Sunday. Do give us a call. It's a lively morning. Lots to talk about. What's on your mind and heart? 576-7710. We're going to go to Andrew. Andrew, you've got Religion on the Line. Good morning.
Good morning. I was actually wanting to call in, kind of in response to a gentleman a couple callers back, when he was speaking about the gay marriage situation.
Oh, we're talking about Gene, yeah. Okay.
All right, so basically from my perspective, I consider myself kind of a Protestant Baptist background, and first off, as Christians, any Christian, their first duty is to express the message of the Lord, to reach out and love everybody, including those who, definitely those who don't believe, such as gays or anyone who doesn't follow our way, and give them the message that Jesus is the Savior who died for our sins, and rose from the dead in order to save us, even though we are lost in sin, no matter what that sin is. And that is our first duty. As for what is going on with the gay marriage situation now, that spurs that hypothetical question. If a gay person came into a restaurant, say, that I was managing, in that case, whether it was for their wedding or not, I would go ahead and serve them because they are coming in as patrons to take care of them. However,
they're coming in how? I didn't understand that. They're coming in how?
As a patron of my establishment.
Patron,
they,
I see. Yeah.
Now, however, if they have called ahead or are trying to reserve a specific location specifically for the wedding ceremony, that I would then have to deny because at that point I'm then directly supporting that lifestyle. It would be similar to, let's say, I own an apartment complex and there's a heterosexual person that they take lovers, sleep around, and they want to use the apartment specifically for that purpose, and they reveal that to me. In that case, I would feel compelled to say, no, I can't let the apartment be used for this purpose because I don't believe that that is a right way to live. As for the legality of saying that a person must serve them, a lot of times I do hear that that comparison to discrimination for blacks and other minorities. So instead of looking at it as, all right, I'm gay, I can't help, I'm gay, that's how I was born, or is it a choice? I want to look at it a little differently as to whether or not we should be compelled to serve them, and that is an opportunity for the service. In the case of blacks and situations where there was large amount of discrimination, such especially in the South and so forth, those people, they were actively persecuted and not able to gain the services. There were the separate bathrooms, there were legal systems in place to keep them away, there was active hangings and lynchings that were not persecuted, and that is why the law then had to go in and say, look, you cannot discriminate against them because they are citizens, they are people too. They have no ability to get better because there is no opportunity for them.
To get better.
Exactly. And what that has done is that imposed on a person's individual liberty, such as someone who truly does believe that blacks weren't equal to whites and so forth, but in this particular case, because that the blacks' individual liberty was so hurt by what was going on in the communities, that was why it was justified.
Yeah.
At this time in gay culture, look at their opportunity, especially if you have that baker or someone who says, no, I can't serve you. They have the opportunity to get served, to get outstanding service from places that are jumping to offer it, even with employment.
Andrew, the same thing could be said literally. I know of people in the South who would say, I want that right to refuse service to black people. They can get their cake, they can get their restaurant needs met at another place, not mine. And we've said in this country that public accommodations and public commerce disallows discrimination of any kind.
Andrew, yeah. Let me ask you a question and change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
You know, in a history of American Jews, there was a period of time when Jews couldn't live in certain neighborhoods, Jews wouldn't be accepted to certain colleges, Jews wouldn't be allowed to go to certain resorts. Today, if you are an owner of a restaurant, do you have a right to say, well, I don't accept Jews because they don't believe in that Jesus is the Messiah, and I don't want to serve them? Is that permitted?
Well, that's actually, there's that definition where if they're just coming in as a patron, they haven't, like, they're not specifically celebrating their Jewishness, per se.
What about a wedding reception for a Jewish couple? Can an owner of a restaurant say, I won't serve them because they're Jews?
In this particular case, because, like I said, it's that freedom of ability. At this point in time, I'm just going to make an assumption. From my perspective, most locations would not have an issue with that. They would actually
say, we're talking about the legal right, Andrew. Should they have a legal right?
Yes,
that's the question. And I understand that. The reason I'm mentioning this is because, as far as I'm concerned, at this point in our history, because there are so many locations that actually would do it, we actually might be able to take away that particular extra protection. The reason I say that is not because I would be against the Jews or against the blacks or so forth, but because that is that individual liberty where each person, if you are coercing someone to do something that would be against what they believe.
You know what? I think that some people do have to, for example, somebody shouldn't vote because I just don't like those kind of people and I don't think they should be citizens. The government has said, no, you don't get that right. You don't get even the ability to organize that. Those people have a right. It's not individual sovereignty that we're talking about here. We're talking about a nation of laws and a community that should care for each other and get over our differences. Anyway, we've got to go now, and we've got other callers. We're lit up, okay, Andrew?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to go to Lance. Lance, you've got religion on the line.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, great. Well, thank you.
Good. I think it was a very interesting discussion. I think, I guess we would all probably agree that no right is unlimited. Is that right? I mean, speaking strictly from a First Amendment perspective, is that accurate? We would all say that there's limits on all rights.
Well, what's that classic? Your First Amendment right to expression stops at the tip of my nose. Yeah, there has to be.
Sure. You don't have a right to shout fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the question really isn't First Amendment. Well, it's more about where do we draw the line? So I guess from an analogy perspective, I think a couple people on, and correct me if I'm wrong, have characterized it as a right to worship, and I think the gentleman from the diocese kind of covered that. Is that accurate, or are we saying that?
Well, the distinction I was making is that there is a right to belief and a right to worship, but the freedom of religion historically in this country, and I would say naturally, goes much farther than that. It's a freedom to practice and a respect for conscience. And the idea is that as a people, we should respect people's conscience and if at all possible, make reasonable accommodations to accommodate the dictates of their conscience.
Oh, yeah.
This is not what Bill's perspective is, but a nuanced elaboration of this discussion is if somebody has what would be regarded as a prejudicial, bigoted view, do they have a right to exercise that and restrict the freedoms of others, and by virtue of their religion? Go ahead.
I was going to say, so based on the two different, would you say then, like take this show for instance, would you say that this your right to have these opinions would be limited, but you couldn't broadcast it over the airwaves because that goes out into the public, and it's just the First Amendment right to express your opinion is strictly a private right.
I don't know all about that. That'd be a nice can of worms, but we don't have a right to foment.
Isn't that what you're saying when you say you can't? Religion is just a worship. Would I be able to say that free expression is just a private right then?
Well, this is more a freedom. This is a private radio station that covers itself under the First Amendment with regard to the right to freedom of speech. And not so much with
an organization that has its right.
They have a right to say anything they want, to practice it any other way within the bounds of their property. But if you engage in a public sphere, in a restaurant that is supposedly open to all patrons, we get into a slippery slope if the owner of the restaurant has the right to restrict service.
What if I was a Satanist and I wanted to come to your restaurant and have a satanic ritual? That's my religion. Would you be able to prove
satanic
it?
Satanic ritual?
I don't think the ritual is the part. The thing is being served. We didn't say that the restaurant had to make the cake or had to sponsor the bar mitzvah. We said this is an after event. And if the person, and Alan's example was pretty telling.
A reception is part of a wedding ceremony. I mean, it
no,
doesn't
it's
just
not.
End right then and
no,
there.
No, no.
Well,
I've never.
Let's say it is. Okay, let's say it is. I think the real question is this: if you believe that two men having sex is inherently morally wrong, and there's a ceremony condoning that behavior, are you loving that person by participating? And where does your duty as a restaurateur or your because certainly I think this the Catholic Church teaching, and I'm sure most religions would say that we're all sinners, and anyone who has this inclination should be free from unjust discrimination. But is it unjust to deny service and when?
Hey, Lance, can you hold on just a minute?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. We got to take a break, pay some bills. All right. And that's mandated by the management. We have to do that, all right? Hold on. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay. We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710.
You may be one of the 1 in 26 Americans who will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. To help the millions of people who experience their first seizure each year and the physicians who care for them, the American Academy of Neurology and the American Epilepsy Society have released a new guideline on how to treat a first seizure. It shows there is strong evidence that for adults who have had a first seizure, the risk of another seizure is greatest within the first 2 years. The risk ranges from about a 1 in 5 chance to nearly a 1 in 2 chance. But the guideline also found that taking epilepsy drugs immediately after a first seizure may reduce the risk of having another seizure. If you have had a first seizure, it is important that you talk with your neurologist and have a meaningful conversation so that your individual circumstances, balance of risks and benefits, and personal preferences are understood and accounted for before starting any treatment. To learn more about epilepsy, visit AAN.com. That's AAN.com.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Did you know that your children may be eligible for free or low-cost health insurance? Health insurance programs like Medicaid and CHIP help to pay for regular checkups, emergency care, hospital stays, vision and dental care, vaccines, and medicines. Call the Su Familia helpline today at 1-866-783-2645 or text INSURE to 805-722 to learn more.
Message and data rates may apply. Text STOP to quit.
Tanning, indoors or out, increases your risk of skin cancer, including melanoma, the second most common cancer in young adults and the leading cause of cancer death in women 25 to 30.
Tanning doesn't make me look healthier. My ambition does.
Tanning doesn't make me stand out. My drive does.
Tanning can cause wrinkles, age spots, and even melanoma, the cancer that kills one person every hour. And using tanning beds significantly increases your risk of developing melanoma.
Tanning doesn't make me glow.
My individuality does.
Tanning doesn't make me feel better about myself.
I got the job.
Yeah.
Congrats. Job.
My confidence does.
Tanning doesn't make you more beautiful. It only makes you more at risk. Stop tanning. Learn more at spotskincancer.org. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Hey, if web.com did it for you, they're perfect for me.
Call now, 1-800-535-8815. That's 1-800-535-8815. Again, 1-800-535-8815.
I'm terrible with money. Apparently, a PhD in physics won't help me predict the trajectory of my own retirement. So I work with TIAA Cref. You get quality, personalized advice no matter what your balance is. For me, they make investing as easy as Newtonian physics.
Advice for everyone. One more way TIAA CREF is created to serve and built to perform. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA CREF Individual and Institutional Services, LLC. This testimonial is an act of betrayal. Advice is subject to institutional plan rules. Investing involves risk. Individual results will vary.
Carson in the morning.
Rolling Stone did an interview with this kid in Iowa, and he came up with the candidacy of these nuts.
And it's getting national traction.
This kid is a genius.
Carson in the morning, now at a new time. Weekday 6 till 10.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO. Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time, this is the place. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
And we are grateful for your presence and your calls, and we have been talking to Lance. Lance, we'll continue just here for a little bit. We've got other sure. callers we need to get to, but
I appreciate it, gentlemen. I'll make maybe one final point. I guess I would say, if I was a Catholic, and maybe take this from that perspective, and someone came into me, I owned a restaurant or a reception hall, and they said, a man and woman, they said, hey, you know, we're going to get married and we want to have a reception here, but, you know, we're both actually going to sterilize ourselves and we're not going to be open to children, or, you know, this is a marriage, but we don't think it's really a lifelong deal. We're just doing this for a few years and then we're going to see how it works out. You know, we don't adhere to the Catholic version of marriage. If they came and let me know that in advance, I would also not let them have a reception or serve them, because that would be an infringement on the freedom of my religion. So what would your thoughts be on that?
Well, I would say, as a Catholic, my first obligation is to love those people. And so the question then is, it's a question of prudence. And if I were to say that, I think that'd be kind of harsh. Are they going to walk away from that saying, boy, you know, whoever this Jesus is that this guy's following, I want to be a part of that? Or where would, and I don't think they would. I think they'd be more like, wow, boy, I don't want to have anything to do with this Jesus, because he makes his people be real jerks. And I think this is the question, really. I mean, as Catholics,
hold on. What if I would do that
in a
loving? What if I would do that and explain that to them, why marriage is a lifelong commitment, why marriage should be open to those children? And I would say, I wouldn't do it in a mean way. What if I serve them? Aren't I then endorsing that and saying, well, you know, there's a justice and mercy, right? I mean, you just can't say, okay.
I think you can discriminate upon somebody's opinion being expressed to you and they're expressing what their intentions are with their lives. I don't think that you get the right to discriminate against them in a public business or a business that does has public commerce.
Well,
I don't think you could allow to be. Yeah. You would be allowed to do that.
And we don't have time for this, but if we got into ethics about what level of cooperation, can you cooperate in an act and not be participating in the moral component of that act? I think with regard to hosting a reception or allowing a reception to happen, you're not participating in the moral act that you may find objectionable. Now it gets a little more dicey
it's a direct or indirect cooperation with people, isn't it?
Well, you can have an indirect cooperation with evil and not be participating in that evil and not be morally culpable.
Well, it depends upon what's defined as evil, too, Lance.
How is participating, wouldn't say a not couple, cooperation?
I would say a couple that has decided not to have children is not evil.
They're not
evil. If you believe – no, but that would be evil according to certain – interpretations of certain traditions, that if there is a absolute choice not to have children, or there is a belief that one should not be forced to have children, or they use contraception, not just let's say if a couple says we're going to use contraception for the next 5 years until we really have the financial capacity to pay for children. And I've done hundreds of weddings for people like that. I wasn't participating in evil.
But you're not Catholic, are you?
No, but the Catholics don't get to define what's evil for the rest of us. They get to define what's evil for them.
Well, evil is a pretty strong word. I think we're talking about evil in the philosophical sense, meaning just bad.
Teachings. It's against your tradition.
So,
Lance, we got to go. Yeah. You call back another time. We got another caller or two to get to, okay? Bye-bye. And we're going to go to Jim.
Hey, guys. You know, I certainly support equal rights for all human beings, but I will bet that at least some of you will draw the line on equal rights for all human beings when it suits your argument, as in abortion.
All right, tell us more. What do you mean? Who wants to deny equal rights for whom?
For the unborn, as human beings. They want to take away their humanity. I wouldn't say the Catholic would do that, but I would bet that the other guys are for doing that. Am I wrong?
I've stated frequently that I don't believe that life begins at conception, which is a very traditional Catholic tradition.
But do you know that?
I don't believe.
Yeah, you don't believe it, but do you know if it begins with conception or not?
And do you?
No, say I don't. If you don't know if something's human, do you just go ahead and kill it?
No, what I was going to get to is I don't just go ahead and kill it. That's an unfair characterization of about what I was about to say. I want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare, and I want it to be accessible to people who have been raped. To women who have been raped.
Okay, except and for I that want, exception, you want it available for other purposes, right?
I think that for the health of the mother, I think when there's an unwanted pregnancy, I think it's bad.
Unwanted?
Yes, unwanted.
So you think you can kill people just because you don't want them?
Well, I didn't think, again, you're, if we want to have a discussion, Jim, let's talk about what defines people as people, what defines a person as a person. There are religious traditions, and I think you're
avoiding the issue.
No. I don't think the issue is being avoided at all. There are certain religious traditions that do not accept the idea that at conception that person is that.
Jim, call back. Yeah. I hope that there's other issues besides this. We got to go. There's the bell. This has been a lively morning, and I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Alan Lonti of the New Reformed Temple.
And also on behalf of our friend Michael Zedek, we're all glad to say, God bless.